If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And while you're turning there, I just want to give you a little testimony there. I had a colonoscopy, this week, and I got the results back. I'm cancer-free, and that's, so praise God for that. Amen. After drinking the drink of doom, and a whole gallon of it, how many ever drank that stuff? Oh, good night. I'm tired of looking at the bathroom, so praise the Lord. Amen. But it's all good. They said they found it, no polyps at all. So praise God for that. Amen. Amen. So it's part of my treatment checkups. I got another one coming soon, but blessed be the God. I'm believing cancer-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to start this series here, The Cost of Discipleship. When it comes to discipleship, Jesus said, hey, I'm calling you out of the world to be mine. Be separate, says the Lord. How many knows there's a cost in following Jesus? Salvation's a free gift. Whomsoever will may come. But it's more than just being saved. It's following our Lord. Because all of us have flesh. I can see it in front of me. And in that flesh, we have areas that we need to change, all of us. And one thing I know about the Lord is He takes us from glory to glory. It's like the best way I can describe it is if you have a car and you want to restore it back to new, I mean, you got to start somewhere. If you just neglect it, it never changes. In fact, it probably gets worse. But if you're working on just one area, how many knows that that's a change? Yes or no? Listen, if you're working on an area, that's a change. Never be overwhelmed that you think like you got so far to go, you can't get there. But start the process. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion and mercy. But He requires of us, listen to me, a discipleship life. That He doesn't want us to stay like us. He wants us to be like Him. Listen, this Christian walk is like a race, an athlete that prepares for a race. That no one can run a big, long marathon and never ran before. If you think you're going to beat those who have, you won't. But we have to run that race according to His rules and His ways. Listen, we all have a Bible, don't we? In fact, the matter is you can get it on your phone if you don't have one that's physical. But it's amazing to me, it's one book and everything you need is jammed up into one book. And it's amazing how that one book isn't opened. How many of us as believers, that should be something we all have in common. We read the Word of God. In this church, you're encouraged to read the Word of God. I know areas where it's frowned on, that it's only supposed to be for one person to interpret. No, you read the Word of God. My message here may sustain you on Sunday, but guess what? Monday, you're going to be hungry again. You have to feed yourself. And I know this, when you fill yourself up with the Word, you start to lose some self. The problem with Christianity is we get so much self, we think it's Jesus. Oh, he can preach that. How many of us, we need to be more like Him in all that we say or do. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, we'll start there. And He said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and what? Follow me, verse 24. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what advantage will he gain if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will he exchange for that area? In verse 23, he says this, if any man, say any man.
Any man.
Notice that even the Lord's given the apostles the choice that even here, will you follow me? He's saying if any man, if you want to come after the Lord, you have to start denying self. Well, you're here this morning. There's a degree you've already done that. But it's the little areas of our life that the Lord wants to perfect. He wants us to deal with. Anyone here ever have a thought that's may not be Jesus? How many still have some things coming out that you need to change? How about something, a little thing that the enemy kind of trips you up and you kind of fall in that area? Okay, four of you. How many of us, it's all areas that we have. And believe me, many times we get the big things down, but it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little areas the Lord wants to perfect. I want to be like Jesus. That means my whole Christian life, no matter how long I'm on this planet, there's a perfection process going on. If we step out of that process, we cease to continue to change. I want to change. It isn't a matter of years, how many years you've been a Christian. You can change in 1 year as much as somebody's done it in 10 years. It's a choice. There's no law against it. You can be what God wants you to be, but we have to stay in the process. One of the areas the enemy will always try to trip you up in when you're starting to do what is right, offense. He'll try to get you off that path, or he'll try to parade another way, or try to make it greener somewhere else. And you find out when you get there, just the water bill's higher. The truth is that when you're planted, God will make you flourish. I know this for a fact. Even when you feel like you're in a desert place and it doesn't feel like you're producing much, you're probably growing greater root depth. And when you finally hit the source, you're stronger than you were before. Say amen. How many knows the trying of your faith works patience? Come on. I was glad when I came to on Wednesday when they rolled me over, and I don't know what they all did. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. If you're a nurse, you probably can give me all the details. I don't know if they inject you with something to wake you up while you're there. I don't really know if it just wears off and you pop up, but whatever. But the truth is, when the doctor came in, I wasn't quite 100%, but maybe 95%. But he came over to me, he goes, look, you're cancer-free, no polyps at all. I don't want to see you for another 10 years. How many are like, thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm still in a little gown with nothing on. You know all that goes on. And I'm like, okay, cool, I can take this. I can take good news with just a robe on. I don't really know him. He doesn't really know me. How many of said, God, to you be the glory. Well, you know what? God will take you from steps. How many knows when you previous you go into it, there's always that thought, well, what if they find something? Yeah. Or what if I got to go do this? Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many knows it's great that all those times that you were in anguish, you didn't need to go through that. But yet we're still subject to that in the flesh. And at just a moment, all that can be wiped away. Well, you know, Lord Jesus, you're going to take care of all of us all the days of our life. And verse 23 says this, if any man will come, listen to me, will you come? Notice the next verse, deny self and pick up your cross. That cross is the symbol of death. It's a symbol of self-denial. It's a symbol of pain and suffering. Listen, when you start to cease from sin, there's going to be a little bit discomfort. You're going to want to go after that, and your flesh is going to want that, but saying no to that area, instantly you're starting to deny self. Maybe somebody else can go do all that, but the Lord's saying for you, no. How many know ceasing from sin will bring that area? It will bring a discomfort. Now, we'll all be able to bear it, and I'm going to make this statement to you. Don't whine and complain about following Jesus. You haven't given up that much. None of us have resisted sin on the blood. So when Christians go, oh, I've given up so much, you only give up what's killing you anyways. Come on. The truth is that God works. If you're taking notes, in 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 4, says, since Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That means you're starting to resist those areas. Say, you know what? No, I'm not doing that anymore. And it's more than just willpower. There's a lot of good programs that do that. No, it's the Holy Spirit giving you the strength to change that area in your life. It's not just a matter of saying no to this and then pick up something else. No, I want God to change me. This will work. For some people can go cold turkey. I know some people that have some vices and they've given it up instantly when they got saved. Others have taken time to get that area right. But both come to the same goal, they're finished. Amen. How many knows the Lord will take us there? But we've all had times and moments of weakness. Can I get an amen? Amen. We should live to the place where we can testify of the glory that should follow. that Christ has delivered me. Christ has helped me. Christ has changed me. When we start taking up our cross, notice it's daily. You can't go from week to week and expect to die to self. Monday morning when you get up, you got to crucify that flesh. You got to bring that body under subjection. Say, you know what? You're going to follow the Lord. That's where fasting and praying becomes effective. You're starting to deny your own appetites. Lord, I'm going to see this area change. Amen? Instantly, when I fast, food smells so much better. Amen? I could smell it a mile away. Amen? Even during this time, I had to take that drink of doom. That's what I call it. My wife is cooking in the kitchen. She's trying to be like obscure with that. But like, let me just go by because I can't eat for a couple of days here. Say amen. Amen. Lord, I'm going to die to self. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, this is the process. Now picture people coming to him saying, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere you go. Anything. Well, I'm going to deal with that in another day. But Jesus said, if you want to do this, you can. But here's the prerequisites. Will you agree to the terms? And he still makes the same statement to the church today. There's a lot of converts, but very few disciples. We got to pick up that cross. That means you're going to start to deny self. Christianity is a life of self-denial. Self-denial is sacrificial and sometimes painful. No thunderous amens in here. We like the joy, but we don't like to deny. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, it says, don't you know that we all run in a race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you compete. Those who compete, verse 25, are temperate in all things. They do it for a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. When you meet the Apostle Paul, you're going to meet somebody who had self-denial in his life. When you meet Peter, self-denial in his life. When you meet James, self-denial. When they meet you, we need to have the same testimony. We can have the same testimony as the patriarchs in Scripture. How many of us, it's a choice. If you're going to follow him, pick up your cross. And the next step, deny, Lord, deny. Oh, help me deny self. Self is such a big part of this. When I can get me out of the way, how many knows that, hey, I got a whole thing. And Jesus said this, if the world hates you, it hated me before it hated you. When Christians try to fit in the world and talk like the world and act like the world, you're of the world. And I struggle this with pastors. When pastors try to make their church so lukewarm that there's no distinction between them and some Elks Club or a Moose Lodge. There needs to be a difference. That's denying not self. Oh no, we're trying to reach a whole new crew. No, you're not. You can't reach people by a worldly method. It doesn't change the heart. You may grab people into the group, but Jesus said, you've got to deny self, pick up your cross. The world needs to look at the church and say, you know what? I want what you have. I already got what you have. That's a bad testimony. Oh, that's good preaching. And picking up our cross daily, that means we lay down our will. Luke 22:42 says this, Father, let your will be done, not my will. If this cup cannot pass from me, let it be done to fulfill yours. And taking up our cross, that's this, nailing anything of displeasure that's against the Lord on the cross. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith and the strength and power of the Son of God. There can be a transfer of power, and it's the greatest transfer ever. Say amen. Amen. Galatians 5, verse 24, those that are Christ have crucified the flesh and passions and desires. Notice this real clear. Paul reiterates this. If you belong to Jesus, you're doing this. Because it's easy to say, hey, I'm a Christian. It's easy to say, I follow the Lord. But man, are you doing this step? That proves what you're saying. Kind of quiet. When we quit complaining and whining about what we've given up, we find that, listen, the Lord has paid a great penalty for me to make it to heaven. Amen? All I got to do is crucify that flesh, say, no, I'm not going that way. He paid the ultimate price. He restored the relationship. If you bank on this life, man, even if you live to be 100 or 110, what is that compared to eternity? Now picture all the people that are on the planet. How many now are exchanging eternal glory for temporal status? I'm going to get to this in a minute. Even if you amass millions upon millions or even billions, you'll never be able to enjoy it because you can't take it with you. You may enjoy the benefits of being that provision, but ultimately you can't take it with you. So you never can fully enjoy that. Can you see how fleeting that is? When Jesus said, listen, if you pick up your cross and follow me, you'll inherit all things. I belong to the King of Kings. He is my Father. Does he own everything? That means as his kid, guess what? I get it all. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Eternal life as a gift. Then joy, listen to me, no matter what I need, my needs are met all the days of my life. You win. No wonder Jesus said, listen to me, what will it profit you if you gain all this, but you lose that? Sometimes we can trust in uncertainty. And then you know what? We can now try to protect what we have, and you can't take it with you. Is this good? Look at verse 23. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and the next step, follow me. We have to follow Jesus. If we don't follow Jesus, we're going to fall in the ditch. If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Now that path, listen to me, is narrow. It's one way to him, but it's well traveled. And God will give you illumination. Sometimes he'll give you a distant illumination, but many times it's for the next step. A lamp unto my feet. And if I can see my feet, that doesn't mean I have to stumble. Even if the enemy tries to trip me up with some log. Hallelujah. How many want to follow him? It's one of the laws of discipleship that we have to follow him. Jesus is our example. He's our leader. Come and follow me. Now picture Jesus saying this to a group of Jews, a group of his disciples. And even say, if any man, that's including you, if you're going to follow, you're going to pick up your cross, you're going to deny yourself, and you're going to follow me. How many times would people go, you know what, this is too much because I'm going to get the next level next week. I don't want to do that. That's too much. I got my own things to do. Jesus never takes away your happiness. He fulfills it. It's that step of faith saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Do you know the disciples, they gave of their life but lost nothing. Even their income. When Jesus sent them back to fish, one time paid for Peter's and his taxes, Jesus's. And then he sends them out. Have you caught? We've been all night, haven't caught. Cast your net on the right side. And the boats begin to sink. That's how many fish. How many think that's a pretty good haul? You never give up anything by following the Lord. There may seem like it's lean for a moment as the sacrifice is being made, but it always returns, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You can't outgive God. It's an impossibility. God will be indebted to no man, especially us. He will fulfill his word. The truth is that we try to make it another way. We need to go his way. In this church, we have to do it God's way. It's not popular, but we have to do it God's way. A true disciple will follow him into service or duty and then into glory. Like a sheep that follows a shepherd or a soldier that follows a captain, you're following him. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. Yeah. You ever notice all those people succeeded? I wonder how many look back at the end of Joshua and Caleb's life when they're breathing their last saying, you know what, I wish I did what you did. I wish I'd had the testimony that you guys had. No, they're giants in the land. We can't take it. We're like grasshoppers before them. Notice you reduce God down to nothing. He just delivered you from the most powerful nation in the world without a shot fired. Destroyed their armies before them. 400 years of back taxes God took out of them right off the bat. But it was no good in the wilderness. What good's a diamond in the desert? Until the tabernacle was being fulfilled. Then your money finally was worth something. Oh, I can preach that. Then you can finally spend it on. And it's the first time ever that a pastor said, Moses said, we have enough, don't give any more. I like when that testimony is going to be in Lighthouse.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. That means they're prosper people. You should be coming unglued. Amen. I have visions like this, that we have so much and such a surplus that we can pay off some other church's mortgage. Why not? Say amen. Notice if any man, it's a deliberate choice. In Psalm 110 verse 3, the people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. It says if any man, I have to say, if that's me, I need to take on. I'm any person. I'm any man. Philippians 2 verse 7 and 8, he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in likeness of a man. Jesus paid a great price to set the example. Now we do also. Listen, if the Lord's working on you, you're fasting, praying, it isn't time to go in front of your whole workforce and go, oh, today I'm fasting and praying. Want to be more like Jesus? Look at me. That isn't the time. It isn't time to shout it before your family. You know what? None of you fast like me. Amen. Jesus made it real clear. Which of the two did the will of the Father? I thank you, Jesus. I'm not like this sinner here. I fast and pray 3 times a week. I read my Bible. I give tithes and offerings, alms to the poor. Or the one, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Which of the two went away justified? He denied himself. It's no different today. We don't make ourselves of more reputation. Your reputation needs to be in denial of self, dying to self. And dead men have no rights. And the next thing is, you can't tempt a dead man. Say amen. Reckon yourself dead unto sin, but alive unto God. A lot of our problems would vanish away if we do more self-denial. Wow, praise the Lord. I didn't want to hear that this Sunday morning. Tell me something that'll tickle my ears. Look at verse 24. And whosoever will save his life is going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, the same shall save it. The choice between temporary gain and eternal loss. Now, you can have the personal gain in this lifetime. There's no doubt about it. There's no law against you making as much as and amassing as much as you want. Jesus said it's real. It is real. But what about eternal loss? And we're all getting older slowly and suddenly. The toys I play with as a kid now, and I'm not very old, like 31, are now considered antiques in the antique store. I went through the antique store and I went, I played with that as a kid. I played with that as a kid. I played with that as a kid. Didn't you wish you would have saved some of those? There was no things in my home. When you got it, you opened it, you played it till you broke it. Who had the home like that? And none of us said, oh, yeah, I'm just going to keep this in the package. When I see that sometimes, I'm like, that wasn't given in my home. We didn't save the box. That got tore up right instantly. Who had a home like me? You did not save it for somebody else. When I see that, I'm like, man, was that given? That must not have been given to a kid. You must have bought that and stuck it up somewhere else. Or held it back and didn't give it up. I wonder how much selfishness is involved in that. Oh, man. Amen. I remember one time this guy was saving cards, baseball cards, and he had all kinds. He had the tops and all the wrappers. And I said, bro, when you get a kid, you know, that's going to change. Oh, no. These are mine. If I have 10 in my family, they're never getting any of these cards. I said, you don't understand what you're saying. When you have kids, they're going to want to play with them. Oh, no, no, I'm going to put them up top shelf. They're never going to get to them. Well, this gentleman had a child, had a boy. I remember he started growing up in the church, and he came up to me one Sunday. He goes, oh, you'll never guess what happened. Little Johnny got into my cards, and he opened every single package. And then he mixed them all up. I said, that's the joy of having kids. Amen. I go, did you yell at your kid? He goes, no. I go, did he enjoy them? He goes, yeah. Isn't that more worth it? Speaking from a single guy. In Mark 8:36, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? He's making a statement to him. He's saying to him, listen, this is real. Could you imagine Jesus being here this morning and speaking this word? What will it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Knowing that he's the creator of the world. I like what Matthew Henry said. He said this, he who forsakes Christ to preserve a temporal life and avoid a temporal death to the flesh and sin will certainly come short of eternal life. He will be hurt by the second death and be eternally held by it. I think it's a pretty good statement. In verse 25, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Listen, we have to look at that as real. When we lose our soul, listen to me, it's eternal loss. Every Pharaoh in Egypt realized they couldn't take it with them, even though they thought the next life would. Every person who thinks they can amass it, you never really enjoy it if you can't spend time with it. And if it's just a fleeting moment, then you never really possess it. You just become a steward. The steward of your time matters. God's given you allotted time on planet Earth. Then, Lord, I want to live that out to the fullness in you. Young people, I'm speaking to you. If you'll live it out for Christ, by the time you get to other ages in here, your life will be more blessed than ever. If all of us could rack back the time and say, I'm 3 years old and live for God all the days of our life, that would make a bigger difference. Say amen. Self-preservation will not hold up. We have to look at it and say, hey, listen, we can be destroyed by what we do or we can have eternal life. Now, let me make this statement to you. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So we're going to have some physical challenges in this body while we're on the planet. Death is truly a breaking down of cells. We're all in that arena. But even that God tempers. You belong to me. Amen? Amen. I want to have a good journey while I'm on this planet. Anybody with me? When God's finally done with you, you close your eyes, whoop, you're in eternity. I don't like it when people suffer. I don't. I hate it. It bothers me to no end. But this flesh is weak. But that doesn't mean we can't be strong in our spirit. Is God good? Are you enjoying this morning? Look at verse 26. For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his own glory, in his Father's name and his holy angels. The law of discipleship is this. If you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. Think about it. You didn't want to serve him. He's not going to deny himself. Depart from me. I never knew you. You live for self the whole time you're on this planet. You amassed everything for you. What about him? You never denied self. You never picked up your cross. We'll package ourselves. No one will have an excuse in front of the king that'll hold any water why they're not in heaven. He'll say, it is written. And then since your life is held in volumes, he can bring up your whole life before you. The man's without excuse. I would hate to give an account of every word I ever spoke. I would hate to give an account of every action I ever did. Amen. Thanks be to God who covers that. The blood covers that. We all need to keep that in mind. Now, since I'm in that arena, Lord, I want to be more like you. Listen, I'm pastoring this church. I don't pastor another church. Then in this church, I want you to be like Jesus. I want you to take the steps that the road of the cross abides us, and we walk in that. Amen. Notice it says this, if you're ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed to you. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, if we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. When it says the Son of Man, this represents a threefold glory. His own, his Father, and the holy angels. He said, when you live that out, listen to me, you're honoring my Father because you're honoring me. And you're honoring those that he created, the holy angels that are set forth into the kingdom. Each one will be there. And think about it. One day, you're going to walk past angels that he created that's never been redeemed. They don't know what it's like to look into the blood of Christ. Those that left their first estate have been banished forever. Satan and his horde, banished. But you're the only one that has the testimony. You were once lost and now you're found. It says in Scripture, angels long to look into the blood. They don't understand that full part. We have a song they'll never have. And Jesus in his own flesh took our payment. I have to believe in heaven, there's some serious, mighty warrior angels. One of them can slew 144,000 in just an evening. We're talking some bad dudes. Can you imagine those guys in heaven going, man, we're seeing Jesus get torn apart. But he's doing it willingly. Can you see them saying, Father, if you just release us, we'll wipe them all out in an instant. Yet they're held back for us. If you don't think that we're loved, you're missing the point. Even the angels know how much he loves us. And Jesus made this statement, right now it's still possible to call down as many angels as I need to take care of this. But I'm doing it for you. I'm denying myself. I live my whole life for you. How many knows I can live for him? And I don't even have to go to what he went to. That's why the disciples that lost their first life in that first generation, they thought it was a privilege to offer their life up to Christ. We need to bring that back. Not that I'm looking for us to be martyred, but we need the same heart. Then look, if we have to go, Lord, so be it. I don't know how long it's going to be with our great freedoms that we have. But you know what? I'm still going to serve the Lord even if they tell me I can't. Even if they tell me I can't do this anymore. And I'm here to tell you, I'm going to make this plain. I'm not going to listen to a government who tells me what I have to preach either. Canada has that problem right now. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to speak what God wants. The only time you can disobey authority is when it goes against God's authority. God won't tell you to steal something. And the early apostles had this. Should we listen to man or God when they told him you can't preach anymore in Jesus' name? He said, we'd rather obey God than man. He told us to go. That's the only time you can violate those laws, when it goes against the law of the king. Amen. When Jesus is speaking, I tell you, some of you, verse 27, I tell you, truly, that some standing here will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. He's speaking to his disciples, he's speaking to the Jewish state, and he's speaking to all the generations that will come after him. Some will not even go fathom it until that day. And I know this for a fact, there'll be no unbelievers in hell, because you will see him in all his glory. You will see what he's done. Can you imagine the imprint in your brain knowing that there's another way and you blew it? Knowing that you left all this that you never could fully enjoy in exchange for what he has? How many think you'd live 1,000 lives over just living for the Lord? You only get one shot. That's why we have to, Lord, change my mind. Lord, open up my eyes to see. If you're saved, it's an incredible miracle that you're saved. That somehow in all the world, you got to know that revelation. We need to be thankful with it. But now we have to pick it up. Come on. How many of us, we got to pick it up? We got to pick up our cross now and follow him. Deny self, follow him. And if we do that, we'll pick it up again. You don't lose anything. you get more of a life. How many want to be more filled with the Holy Ghost? How many want to be more filled with His power? Listen, everything you really want, joy unspeakable. When they were going through these pain, and if you really look at even Stephen when he was being stoned, that he saw heaven opened. I mean, that's a great contrast from the rocks pelting me. I see heaven open. And there's Jesus. Even in the darkest time, God will intervene in your situation, give you just what you need as you transition on. That's why when you breathe your last as a Christian, God's ready to meet you right there. Hallelujah. Whether He takes you up Himself or He sends an angel to come get you, how many knows the next step He's taken care of? You're not just some disembodied spirit floating around hoping you'd make it there. No, God's got a plan for you. How many knows God will get you where you need to go? Listen, we can't afford to live lukewarm anymore. We can't afford it. We want to make a difference in society, then it's all out for God. Well, that's too much pressure. I don't like that in the church. I like it when I can just sit and be by myself and nothing happens to me. I don't like being convicted. Oh, Lord, help. If conviction doesn't come, you know what? Lord, help us. We need conviction. It needs to be in the pulpit as well as the pews. We need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. How many are seeing that it's so important if we're going to follow Him? I'm sharing no new revelation to you. I'm only rehearsing what you already know. But we have to put it to practice. Be honest in here. How many need to deny self a little more? Okay. Amen. How many need to, like, you know what? Lord, I'm going to cease from sin in this area. There'll be a little bit of struggle. How many need to go through that struggle? As your flesh wants this, and no, I'm not feeding the flesh. There's a process there. How about this? You need to follow Him a little bit closer. I want to follow so close as when He stops, I run into Him. Amen? He doesn't mind me running into Him. The problem is when He's got to go search for me. I don't want Him to search for me anymore. I was once lost, but now I'm found. It's not how far I can get away and still be saved. It's how close I can get. Because the best food is in the trough. Hallelujah. Not by the fence where the weeds are. And if I commingle my seed, I soon get sick. Jesus said, listen to me, you as a church, when you read all the ones in Revelation, He said, one church has a little bit of power. That was the greatest testimony they had. How many want to walk more power than that? I want Lighthouse to walk in the fullness of what God has. Come on, that means every member included. It matters what you do on Saturday that affects Sunday. Are we part of a body? Then we all have that area. Then we start to look at it. I'm not looking for perfection because your pastor isn't perfect. I need prayer like everyone else. But I want to pick up my cross and follow Him. Amen? And we do that, you know what? We're on the right road. And we'll receive the great what God's promised. I want to lead this charge too. I want to be that example. I haven't arrived, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Hallelujah. The paint may be still wet, but at least it's painted. Praise God. God will work it all in us. And last here this morning. How many knows that when we start to follow Him, the enemy's going to set up roadblocks? Can I ask all of you to be thick-skinned? You don't get offended if you don't take the offense. No, sometimes just, no, walking through that. Amen? Sometimes you just got to look at it and say no. Because the enemy will try to, when you're on the right road, he doesn't want you on that road. Keep going. Keep going. Amen? Be like Gumby. You've all seen little Gumby, haven't you? You can bend Gumby any way you want, and he comes back to the same shape. Be like Gumby, bless God. Hallelujah. Enjoy this morning. If you would, lift your hands towards the King. And I want you to look at this as your prayer before Him. Father, this morning we deny ourselves. Lord, this morning we pick up our cross. Lord, this morning we determine to follow You. You said if any man, any woman, any child, that means anyone can take this step. But it starts with choice. Now you make this personal between you and the Lord. You make it personal, like I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I am going to deny myself and pick up my cross. I am. When you make that declaration in your heart and you mean it, the Lord hears it. Father, I pray for our weaknesses to be strengthened by the Holy Ghost. That as we deny ourselves and pick up our cross, Lord, you'll meet with us and help us. And I'll make it personal. Lord, today I determine. You may have determined it many years ago. Make it afresh and anew. I'm going to deny self and pick up my cross and follow you. I'm going to follow you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to run close to you. I'm going to take this Christian race as like an athlete who trains. We buffet this body. We bring it in shape to follow our King. Lord, teach us your ways, that it's the best way. And Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, meet every need in each home. Lord, this week of celebrating our freedom, God, I pray you'll bless their day. I thank you for this great country. Father, continue to move, Lord God, in those in leadership. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you.